It's time for the best 5 minutes of the day right now. Hopefully that's not presumptive of us. We enjoy it. It's a couple of brothers in the Lord who enjoy each other's company, and we're on the radio together early in the morning on the WIB Wake-Up Show. Good morning, Jason Kanz.
Good morning, Mark Halverson.
Good to talk to you
this morning. We didn't get blown away last night, so that was good.
Yeah, I guess touchdown in Kadat, but thankfully it sounds like no injuries, maybe some damage, and we'll get some more specifics on that as daybreak unfolds here today.
Sure.
All right, want to talk about disappointment. It's kind of interesting. Philip Yancey had been on Compassion Radio earlier from 5 to 5:30 today, but here's what I have in mind. You talked just yesterday about this latest Larry Crabb book, Waiting for Heaven, but an earlier book, Inside Out, one of the insights that really has marked me over the years is he talks about the end of the love chapter, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. Memorably, Paul writes that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And Crabb opened my eyes to the fact that in this fallen world, our faith grows in confusion, our hope grows in disappointment, and our love grows in conviction over our own sin. But I want to camp on the disappointment part, because it seems to me that, wow, during these COVID times, people, there's all sorts of disappointment. And then beyond just the disappointment in that capacity, we certainly can have, and I'm looking at the Philip Yancey book right here from years ago, Disappointment with God. And I got to think at the time it took a lot of guts to write that. But if you can have disappointment with God, you certainly can with your spouse, with your family, with your job. What about this thing, disappointment?
Yeah, I think the stresses of COVID and everything else going on in our world really, I don't know if it invites disappointment, but it certainly reveals it. And for me, as I was kind of thinking about this in the few minutes before we got on the radio, I was pondering the idea that our expectations of who God is and what he should do for us, I think often is grounded maybe not in what God promises, but in what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
We expect God to make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's never what he promises. He promises to give us more of him. And I think sometimes that comes through pain, and when we fail to see that, it leads to disappointment.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I think that's where, again, go back to the Crabb comment, that hope grows in disappointment. Like, hope is for something you don't have, right? But
right.
We want it now. We're Americans. We're American Christians, and we want to have our cake and eat it, too. We want heaven now and heaven later, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that it's good for us to camp on that, the notion that we are not always going to have immediate comforts given to us. You know, that's a hard thing to think about. If it's true that hope grows in disappointment, God wants our hope to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Will he allow us to be disappointed in those temporal or those earthly things? I think he will.
Oh. Obviously, he does, right? I mean, just think of just so many different ways. Think of people just to think in their own lives and look around you, and there is so much disappointment. And some just discount God, and they just say, no. But one has to go deeper. You have to look behind the curtain and say, what is he up to? I got to tell you, without that perspective, I don't know how people make it, you know?
So. Right, absolutely. You know, and I think for me, there's how do we as individuals lean into our discomfort? How do we as churches, communities of believers, lean into our disappointment? You know, I think so often we end up raging, and it shows up as anger toward God, toward other people, as opposed to how can I, again, grow in wisdom through this? And that's a hard thing.
And I think one of the things that can help me, and again, you're going to be, let's just think a close on, disappointed relationally, right? As we're disappointed relationally, you go, and you experience what feels like a gut punch relationally, you go, this isn't heaven. You know, the
right.
Lord wants me to be longing for something so great that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared. And a lot of times we want to claim that for the here and now. I think that's a future verse, you know?
I agree. I think it is. I think it's I think it's good to long for fulfillment and wholeness now, but to recognize that it won't be completed until we see Jesus face to face.
Well, there was a great group back in the day that got a lot of airplay back in the day on WWIB called GLAAD. And I had a chance to talk to Ed Nall on one occasion, and he said this song right here was about marriage, and it's called There Is Hope.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jason.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Well, more and more people have been wearing masks, obviously, in 2020, and that continues on in this unique year. But have you noticed that you get more acquainted with your breath? And are you always pleased with it? Well, how to improve your mask breath? Yeah, some common causes of bad breath and how to avoid it. The most common source of bad breath is simple. You aren't keeping your mouth clean enough.
Okay.
I thought it was just I was drinking too much coffee and eating too much gorgonzola cheese.
Yeah, the coffee can affect it. Bacteria that live in our mouths break down food and other debris into smelly compounds.
Delicious.
Brushing and flossing regularly reduce the amount of stinky bacteria-laden debris.
Huh.
We've got to go there.
Okay.
Any
debris
people.
Debris inside
do
our
it.
So
do
keep
it.
Some keep some mouthwash handy. That'll you'll be glad and probably others will too. Dry mouth, if you want to use a mouth rinse, because that could contribute to another source of bad, a dry mouth.
Well, and I think that that's very problematic because if you're wearing a mask, like you can't be sipping on your water. Like I'm a water drinker. I sip on my water all throughout the day and you can't do that. So yeah, your mouth does get dry.
They say use a mouth rinse without alcohol because that can contribute to
the dryness.
Dry mouth.
Sure.
Gotcha.
Gum disease, medical problems, sinus infection, certain medical problems. If you notice your breath is consistently bad, you might want to talk it over with your dentist or your doctor. And change in behavior could be the problem. For instance, you end up maybe eating or drinking something that you didn't used to with a mask all the time, and now all of a sudden you go, maybe I need to change.
So essentially what it is it's not that our breath is worse. It's that we now notice our own breath.
More intimately
and
acquainted.
So I don't know. I think it's better. Like if I'm smelling my own breath, at least I know. That was the thing that I was thinking the other day in a store. I was like, this is kind of nice because with the mask, you don't smell the, you know, things you don't want to smell as much anymore. And that's not a bad thing.
My wife has told me for a long time about my breath, depending on what I what I eat. And then, again, wearing a mask a lot more, it's like, right.
She's right. Yeah. So, yeah, interesting. Very interesting. You know, I've been buying a lot of gum just for this reason, because after the Halls cough drop incident where I tried using a Halls to freshen my breath, and then that was not a bad situation or not a good situation. I bought some gum yesterday. And it was like Olympic gold gum. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, this marketing came out before COVID because it was supposed to be the Summer Olympics this summer.
Yes.
I just found that interesting.
Exactly.
I pointed it out to Dean. I'm like, look at this.
There you go.
It's a flag on there and it says Olympic sponsor.
It's like all
and
the
it's
ballpark
like
brats that I've been eating. It's like, oh, there are some advantages to
this. Yeah, interesting.
Kids, hang tight for about 10 seconds here. We have something for you from our friends at Avenue Orchard. But first this.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy birthday and all your dreams are true. We wish it was our birthday.
It's your birthday.
All right, so what we are doing today, and this is from our friends at Avenue Orchard, Team Appleseed. We've been talking about Jerry's Jam before. And so Matt Appleseed, he's the son-in-law of Ronnie, will be in here on Friday. Matt's father passed away just a few years ago from complications from Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. And today would have been his birthday. And he would have been turning 70 years old today. And so in honor of Matt's dad, Jerry, they've created Jerry's Jam. We've been telling you about this Jerry's Jam where $3 from every single jar goes to the Huntington's Disease Society of America, helping further research. And so they asked if we'd help them honor Jerry a little bit more today because, again, talking with Misty, Jerry's daughter-in-law, wife of Matt, she said Jerry just loved kids, loved kids. And his grandson, Mason, just the absolute apple of his eye, if I can use an unintentional pun there. And so they said in honor of what would have been Jerry's 70th birthday, they'd like to give away 10 jars of Jerry's Jam to kids this morning. And so we're going to help facilitate that. So kids, you can call in here to the studio. Be patient if you're calling in because it'll take a little time. or with your parents' permission or have them do it for you, you can text us at 715-396-1670, 715-396-1670, or call into the studio at 723-2555. What we'll do is we'll take down your name, and then you're free to go visit Team Appleseed and the Avenue Orchard crew. We'll send your name over to them, and you can just give them your name. They'll have that list, and you'll be able to pick out a free jar of Jerry's Jam. So again, you can go ahead and call and text away 715-723-2555 to call in here to the studio, or 715-396-1670 to text. First 10 kids will get a free jar of Jerry's Jam from Avenue Orchard, and just honoring the legacy of a great man today.
Well, in this year of the coronavirus, I mean, people are like, why not? You know, whatever it might be.
Right.
Except we were supposed to have the Mad Hornets, right?
The Murder Hornets.
The Murder Hornets. Yeah, we kind of like, which is a funny meme. Like, what about the Murder Hornets? But this was something I posted on my Facebook page yesterday. Rare carnivorous plant spotted in Wisconsin for the first time in 40 years. It's up in Ashland. Now, people were thinking it was a coronavirus plant. No, it's a carnivorous.
It's just hanging out saying, feed Miss Seymour.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you don't understand that reference, watch more movies.
I don't, but it sounds interesting.
It's from Little Shop of Horrors. This is a big plant that eats people in Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
Feed Miss Seymour. Yeah, it's a great movie, Caleb.
I will have to check it out.
It's a drop we'll have to use between songs. Yeah. But volunteers with the Wisconsin DNR Rare Plant Monitoring Program recently spotted a rare carnivorous plant in the state. Yeah, first time in four decades. The English sundew spotted in Ashland County last year, thanks to the result of some volunteers. And the sundew's rediscovery, thrilling. Mm-hmm. They also documented, and you can check out this list, they documented 59 never-before-seen plant populations in Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kevin Doyle with the DNR says, this is the most productive year we've ever had from the standpoint of volunteers finding rare plants in new locations. So.
Huh. It doesn't say what this carnivorous plant eats. I'm hoping mosquitoes and bugs. That's
right.
My hope.
Yeah, not volunteers.
Not toes.
Yeah.
This would be the year for finding a toe-eating plant, I'm sure.
I'm sure of it. Wow, that's really interesting, though. Have you ever had a Venus flytrap plant? Those are fun.
I think they're cool, but I have not possessed
them. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, because you can get
a lot
little,
of plants in our
I'm
house,
doing a little
Curtis,
Venus flytrap motion with my fingers listeners. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can get them in little kits at craft stores and stuff, and you can, like, you know. They're fun. Nice. Also, we love those because they move. And the Mimosa pudica, which are the sensitivity plants where you touch them and they like fold all in on themselves. So
wow. It's like a fainting goat of plants.
It is. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. As children, sometimes we all believe some odd things. For instance, my dad told me that spaghetti came out of caves and was harvested, and I believed him. So, you know, these things happen.
My dad relates the story of how he would pray for the missionaries. And he was from Iowa, but he would hear adults praying for all the missionaries, God's missionaries out on the foreign fields. But he thought he was supposed to be praying for the missionaries in the cornfields.
Oh.
I mean, they need prayer as well.
Totally.
I've said this before. My grandma told me you need to eat your crust because that'll give you curly hair. I didn't know I needed necessarily. And the other ones, didn't any of your... adults tell you if you cross your eyes, they're going to get stuck that way.
Oh, yeah, they'll stay that way.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we found a list of things that people believed as children that, this person says, when I was 8, I left some dollar bills in my pants pocket and put them through the wash. When I realized what I'd done, I ran crying to my grandparents saying I was going to be arrested and thrown in jail for money laundering.
Nice use of laundering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here's another.
Okay, so the weird thing that I believed as a child, which still makes no sense to me, in radios, the singers would come in and sing the song. I didn't know about CDs or anything, so I just thought that they would be in the studio, like, singing the song, and then they'd just go about their day.
Someone else said, my dad was watching America's Most Wanted once, and he told me that a serial killer was someone who jumped out of your cereal box and ended your life.
I didn't help me, Captain Crunch.
For a year.
Related to the lady who just called in about people actually going to the radio and singing the songs, this person says, when I was little, I thought that very tiny people worked the streetlights. They had shifts in their job to sit in that light and decide when to turn it green.
Oh,
Hurry up.
Great imaginations, right, as kids.
When I was little, this person says, I thought people who died in movies actually died and had signed up to be in the scene.
Wow.
Oh.
Nasty.
Doesn't make Hollywood nearly as attractive.
No.
Someone said, I thought the road sign no outlet meant that the houses in that area didn't have electric outlets. I couldn't for the life of me figure out why someone would want to live there.
That's awesome.
Someone else says, when I was a kid, I somehow got into my head that everyone had a limited amount of blood at birth and that once you ran out, kaput. I'd get so scared every time I scraped my knees.
Oh, his nose. This person says, when I was 9 years old, I feigned being sick at school so I could go home and watch TV. When the school nurse asked me what was wrong, I confidently replied, morning sickness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, don't fake it, kids.
Let's see. One child, or one former child, of course, says, I thought custody was a town where they took all the bad people. News reports always said the criminal was reprimanded and taken into custody. And I remember wondering where that was and hoping it wasn't near where I lived.
And somebody else says they grew up in Florida. They remember noticing the food labels that used the term FLOZ for ounces and fluid ounces and wondering why each state had its own form of ounces and if Florida ounces were bigger than Georgia ounces.
Nice. This is my favorite. It says, when I was a very small child, my mom used to bury coins in my sandbox, leave huge boot prints in the sand, and tell me pirates had come in the night and buried treasure. I would be out there happily for hours, and my mom got a quiet morning to herself for the price of a handful of pennies. Okay, parents, take that as you will. I think that one's brilliant. Thank you very much.
A few more things that we believed as kids.
My brother would come and pick me up in his Mustang and show it off. He would hit the seek button on the radio, and I didn't know what he was doing. And then he'd touch the steering wheel or the top of the car, and it would change channels. He changed the channel just by touching my nose or whatever he was touching.
My cousin was many years older than me, but she convinced me that, you know, like golf course ranges have like the tall poles with the netting. She had me convinced that giant gorillas lived behind those. That they were cages.
So I thought the power plant smokestacks are what made the clouds. I don't think my parents corrected me for years.
Gotta have a little fun with that. What are things that you believed as a kid that you figured out later? Oh, that's not accurate. 715-396-1670.
You're older than you've ever been, and now you're even older, and now you're even older, and now you're even older. You're older than you've ever been, and now
Alverson, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, Dawson. It's a big, big day for you. I'm sure you were embracing this day up at the crack of dawn, having fun and doing all of that. How's your day going so far, sir?
Yeah, no, as I typically do, up bright and early.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. So the wake-up show with a wake-up call. Happy birthday, 19 years old, to Dawson Halverson. Big plans for the day, young man?
I'm going to work.
Welcome to adulthood. Isn't that just how it goes?
Where can folks find you working today, Dawson?
I'm at the Caribou Coffee on Hastings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Tip generously, folks.
And maybe even a public service announcement here, as I've talked with Dawson some about it, when people go through the drive-thru, would it be helpful for them to ask their kids to be quiet as they try to give their order?
I mean, I don't think that's something that needs to be said for most people, but there's sometimes when I feel bad for them as well, but it can just be difficult.
Well, we may have to take a buzz through your drive-thru today to not just wish you a happy birthday, but also to caffeinate ourselves because they do have wonderful coffee. Well, a very happy birthday to you. I know you're working. Do you have anything like fun planned as a family, dinner, anything like that?
I think we're going to save that towards the end of the week when Elena gets back from camp.
That makes sense.
Nice.
That makes good sense. So.
See, now Dawson's not—he's not the early morning guy. I mean, typically we've kind of joked he's really enjoyed superheroes in the past, and so we've talked about Night Owl. And I'm like, if I had more creativity and make a superhero who'd be Night Owl, and the kid would stay up late and then fight crime. And
yes.
Then, so.
Well, PJ Masks, the nighttime is the right time to fight crime.
There you go.
So. But they still go to school during the day, so I've never quite figured that out.
Well, happy, happy birthday to you, Dawson. I hope that you have a great day. And, yeah, be well and have some fun in there as well.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
You're all welcome. Right. Thank
Dawson you. Dawson Halverson, you can catch him on Sunday mornings. And I believe he may be filling in for Greg Stewart in
the
upcoming weeks
August,
as well. So looking forward to hearing Halverson the Younger on the air more and more.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.